Welcome to Ikoyi Baptist Church. Thank you for tuning into our podcast services. Listen and be blessed.
Psalm 133, and I want us to read together Psalm 133. Psalm 133, are you there? Psalm 133. Read all the verses. Let's go. Behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. I can't hear you. I want us to read it together. So let's start from verse 1 to verse 3. Let's go. 1, 2, go. Behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It is like the precious oil upon the head, running down on the beard of Aaron, running down on the edge of his garments. It is like the dew of Hermon descending upon the mountains of Zion. For there the Lord commanded the blessing, life forevermore. Amen. This morning, the Lord will be speaking to us from the topic, the power of unity. Our topic for this morning is the power of unity. I'm sure we all know what it means to have unity. We do not need a prophet or anybody to tell us that unity is the key to any relationship. That unity is the key to relationship management and success. That if you want a relationship to thrive, if you want a relationship to be successful, if you want a relationship to be what it ought to be, there must be unity between the parties involved in that relationship. Whether they be husband or wife, whether they be employer, employee, whether they be members of the same body of Christ like we are, for any relationship to thrive, there must be unity. We also need no prophet to tell us that in many relationships today, one of the things that is missing is unity. In families, many families are struggling and many families have issues because the husband and wife are not united. The children and parents are not united. So everybody living under the same roof. People may be living under the same roof, but they are separated. They are not together in their attitude, in the way they see things and the way they do things. I see myself as different from my spouse. My spouse sees himself different from me. The children see themselves as different. We are separated in our ideas and our opinions and the things we believe and we hold on to. These are the things that are happening in our families. And these are the things that are also happening in companies and offices, in organizations. It is glaring to note that the issue of unity, because it has been difficult for so many people to work together, they have actually destroyed the relationship they built. Have you seen many organizations that started? They started very strong, but over time, as they allowed the devil to come in, the relationship broke down, and then the company folded up. The issue of unity is what is affecting us. In our nation, there is disunity. Between parties, disunity. Outside of one party to the other, there is disunity. Actually, many times in our nation, many of us have experienced this, that if you have a particular governor coming from a particular party, doing a particular thing in a particular way, the moment he leaves the office, the things he started to do, we put it aside. We begin our own because we cannot run with the same mind. Because we are not united in the way we see things and the way we see the people. And so the people are meant to suffer because we have different opinions. Unfortunately, this issue of unity, when we come to the church of God, where we think that we shouldn't have problems because we are Christians, because we are people of God, because we are people who believe in Jesus and have professed faith in Him, we should not have problems. However, many times, in most instances, we have issues with unity in churches. Churches, people cannot relate with one another the way they should. We are not united in our thoughts, in our ideas, in the things we do, because we have issues, we have problems with unity. And so it's a challenge for us. And that is why God is calling us to look intently at Psalm 133. Because he wants us to learn some lessons. So one of the things that God wants us to discover through this message is that he wants us to appreciate the importance of unity in your relationship. He wants you to appreciate the importance of unity in your relationship. Every one of us, we are in one relationship or the other. There is no one that is an island. There is no one who can live alone. We all need somebody. We all will relate with people. And so we need to know that it is good to appreciate the importance of unity in that relationship. The second thing that the Lord wants us to learn from this message is that we need to work towards unity in your relationship. So number one, unity is important. Number two, we must work towards unity in your relationship. We must make sure that you go the extra mile to find unity in that relationship. It may be costly, and many times it is costly. It may be painful. It may be tedious, but we must do it because God is calling our attention to the need for us to have unity. One thing I'm persuaded of is that if each of us will give attention to this message and to what the Lord is telling us this morning, if we are obedient to his command, there's a reward that is waiting for us. Because God is a faithful God. Coming back to the passage that we read, Psalm 133. I have the New King James Translation. And it starts with the word, behold. It says, behold. Anywhere you find the word behold, you always should pay attention and hold on. So what the word behold is saying is that you need to pay attention. You need to pay deep attention. You need to consider it carefully. You need to look intently at what God is saying. That this issue that is about to be discussed is important. So it says, behold, look at it, consider it, think about it. Think about it. Behold, how good, how pleasant. Look at it. You also think about it. What do you think about it? Now, the issue of unity is something to look into. And so God is saying, look into it. As he's talking to you this morning, where you are seated, look into it. Look into it. Stop pushing the issue of unity aside. Stop saying it is not important. Look into it. How good. How pleasant. It is good. It is beautiful. It is something to enjoy. It is something to celebrate for brothers, for brethren. My translation uses the word brethren, which is a language used for people who are in the kingdom, people who are connected by faith in God, brethren, to dwell together in unity. It is good for brethren. And when I read the word brethren, when I saw the word brethren, and I know it is not a terminology that is used openly outside by everybody. It is a terminology that is in a kingdom language. I began to think to myself, for brethren to dwell together in unity, is that saying that many times brethren, people who are Christians, people who are in the same family, people who have connection, people who naturally should be together, they are not together. And so because they are not often together, there is the need for us to do what? To behold, to consider it, to look intensely and pay attention to this issue. He says it is pleasant for brethren to dwell together in unity. There's a popular saying that divided we do what? We fall. But united, we stand. And so it is good when Christians, when husband and wife, when children and their parents, when employers and employees, when members of the same body of Christ, when they dwell together in unity. It is something to behold. It is something to celebrate. It is something to enjoy. It is something that is good. When we all sit together, we have nothing in between. We have nothing to hide. We have nothing to be ashamed of. We have nothing to hold on to as an offense. We are together. We are united. When we are united, it is something good. It is something nice. It is something to behold. So it says in verse 2, it is like the precious oil upon the head, running down on the beard of Aaron. Aaron, the high priest, the oil on his head, that is graciously, that is abundantly poured on his head. When there is unity, you go the extra mile. So when there is unity, it is like the oil that is abundantly poured on the servant of God, that runs, because it is abundant, it runs from his head to his beard, down to his robe, to the edge of his robe. So it is abundant. It is visible. It is visible. It carries the power and the presence of God because it is visible. And so it is good when brothers and sisters, when Christians, when we dwell together in unity, there is abundance. We go the extra mile. There is nothing to hold back. That is how it is when we are together. So when we are together, when we are united, there is nothing to hold back. There is nothing that is too big to give. Precious oil is put on the head of the high priest. It is not something to hold back. It is not a waste. It is not a waste because it is poured on the head of the one who will minister before God. And so it is not a waste to invest anything that it will take me to invest in order to maintain unity amongst my brothers, amongst my sisters, because it is like the precious oil upon the head, running down the beard of Aaron, running down on the edge of his garments. We go the extra mile. We go the extra mile. It is precious. It is expensive to get, just like a special fragrance that we spend a lot of money to get. But you know, if you get a special fragrance, an expensive fragrance, you will not want to waste it. You will not want to waste it. However, the oil on the head of the servant of God is like the oil that is abundant. That is what unity does. It gives us unity. We are united. We are united and we give abundance. It means as oil is soothing to the flesh, so is unity soothing to relationships. When we are united, it is soothing. It is peaceful. There is nothing to hold back. No friction. It's peace. There is freedom. There is freedom. You know, when there is no unity, where there is disunity, there is always friction. And you know, oil, what does oil do? What does oil do? Lubricates, isn't it? Oil lubricates. And so when there is unity, there is no friction. Just like oil lubricates. How many families have been destroyed? How many homes have been destroyed because of friction? And when friction comes, then we begin to talk about unreconcilable differences. Have you heard that word? Have you heard that statement? There's unreconcilable differences. That means that the things that are happening within us as husband and wife because of disunity are the things that we cannot deal with together. We are not able to stand, to sit together. People who used to sit together to discuss, who used to enjoy one another's company, now because of friction, they are not able to do what? To enjoy. So there is friction. Any little statement is misunderstood. Any little statement, there is noise. There is exchange of words because there is friction. And so it is important that we are united, as a body of Christ, this church, Ikoyi Baptist Church, as a family, that each one of us will begin to look into the families we come from. We begin to look at our relationship with our siblings, our relationships with our parents, our relationship with our friends, our relationship with our brothers. It is important that we allow unity to come so that the relationship is soothing. It is sweet. And you know, when you see people gather together, when you see families gather together, how do you feel when you meet with your cousins, when you meet with your extended family members? Maybe during Christmas, you know how we look forward to that relationship. We gather, we enjoy one another, we exchange gifts. Not because you don't have food in your house. Not because you don't have food in your house. But because of the joy that comes from fellowshipping. Because of the relationship that we share. We go the extra mile. And we begin to continue to relish in that relationship, in that joy that we've shared over time. We look forward to meeting one another again. We enjoy exchanging calls because there is unity. But today, many of us seated here, we are not united with our brothers, with our sisters, with our siblings because of something that happened sometime. And because of this issue that has come as a friction between us, we are allowed separation. So many of us have not called our brothers in the last 2 years. Some of us in the last 1 year. Some of us in the last 6 months. We've not spoken to our parents. We've not spoken to our siblings. We've not spoken to somebody who used to be very close to us. You don't even have his number. You do not care. There is no more unity. We've allowed the enemy to come. And those, the beautiful things we've shared, the beautiful relationships that we enjoyed, is no longer there because we've allowed friction to come. The Lord is speaking to you today. You may need to be the one to call that person. You actually need to call that person, either your parents, either your brother, either your sister, your friend, call them, your colleague, people you've shared intimate things with, call them. You know, when there is disunity, particularly amongst family members, it doesn't end well. It does not end well. And many times, it continues to fester. It will continue to affect one generation to another generation, if you understand what I mean. If you are not close with your brother or your sister, something very little started. Something very small started that friction. And we allowed it to fester. We allowed it to continue. Now, I'm not visiting my brother. I'm not visiting my sister. I'm not calling my brother. I'm not calling my sister. Because I don't want noise. I don't have time for all of these small talks. You don't know my sister. She's difficult. So I leave her. Now, as I've not seen her, do you know our children? They will not see our children. And so imagine, my sister and I are not in good terms. So our children are my children. You don't need to sit those children down to say, don't relate with your cousins. Do you need to do that? They will naturally know. And sometimes many of us will meet at parties or at occasions, family occasions that bring us together. My children are not going to their cousins. They are not greeting their cousins. There is no relationship between them. Did I tell them not to greet their cousins? Maybe not. But they saw the way I discussed my sister with my husband. They saw the way I discussed that relation. So they knew that something is not right. And so they must be careful when they are around their cousins. There is friction. And it goes on and on and on and on and on. But imagine the opposite, where you find everybody is together. Everybody is together. Everybody is together. The brother, the sister, the cousins. And you know, Africa, we may not be related, but I can call you my cousin. I can call you my uncle. We are not related. We are just coming from the same town. You know that happens. That is what unity does. He says it is like the precious oil upon the head, running down on the beard of Aaron, running down the edge of his garments. It is rich. It is soothing. It takes time to grow. Just like, you know, men, some of them, when they want to build their beard and make it grow, they take time. It takes time to build, to make it grow. They do a lot of things to make it look presentable. You know, now our young people, they like to keep their beards. Especially those of them who are just living adolescents. They want to show that they're adults. So they do all of that. They pay attention to it. That is what happens when we need to pay attention. We give it time to build in order to maintain unity. Then in verse 3, it says it is like the dew of Hermon descending upon the mountains of Zion. It is like the dew of Hermon. The dew that falls on Mount Hermon, that very tall mountain, it is rich dew because it is high. And then it flows like water upon Mount Zion. It enriches Mount Zion. So when the dew comes, it brings refreshment. It brings enrichment. It gives water to Mount Zion. That is what it is when we are united. And when it gives water, the plants grow. The plant is green because there is water. So where there is unity, relationships grow. Where there is unity, relationships grow. Where there is unity, things move on. Where there is unity, families are blessed. Because it says, from there, the Lord commanded the blessing. For there, the Lord commanded the blessing, life forevermore. So there is blessing, or there are blessings, when we are united. And the enemy knows this. He knows this. That the moment we agree together, we are blessed. So he does everything to bring disunity. And so if you are not careful, or if you do not pay attention to what the enemy is going to do, you allow little things to separate us. You allow little things to come in between us, either as husband and wife, either as colleagues, or even as members of the same body of Christ. What are the basic building blocks of unity? What do we need to have in order for us to build unity? In this body of Christ, in our families, in our homes, in our businesses. Relationship is like a house that must be built. The foundation of any building will determine how well the house will stand. You know, the higher you want a building to go, the deeper you make the foundation. That means you have to invest a lot on the foundation so that the house can stand, because you have a purpose. When this building was being constructed some few years ago, some of us who were here, we saw all that the builders put into it. They did something they called piling. I'm sure those of us into building, we know the meaning of piling. They had to lay the foundation and make it very strong. Why did they do that? Because they wanted it to be very strong. They wanted this building to be very strong. Which means that because the building is strong, nothing will make us afraid, no matter what is happening, isn't it? So if the rain is very heavy, are we going to be afraid? Are we going to run outside to say we are not safe here? No. No, because we know that they've put in everything. The builders have done everything to make sure that this building is strong enough for us to be able to stay there. I remember sometime a few years ago, the church was looking at what could be done with this building, this old sanctuary. And they had to check to see if this house is strong, if this building is strong, if it's strong enough to take another floor. And they checked and saw that it is strong. So those who had done it, those who had been involved in the building, were wise enough to think ahead, not to say, no, our plan is this. This is where we are going, and we are going to make the foundation to be able to just take this. No, they were forward-looking. And so they did everything. They put everything in place so that whenever we will be ready to put another block, it will be able to take it. And what that tells me is that if you pay attention to building a strong foundation, to laying the right foundation for our families, for our church, for our businesses. It will stand. It will stand even when we are not there. The foundation that many of our parents laid, many times they were not strong enough, so that when they left, the children could not continue to build on that foundation. And this speaks to us as parents, that we must be mindful of the kind of foundation we have built for our children in their relationship, to make sure that they are united, so that when we are not there, what happens? They are still standing. They are still together. They are still able to relate with one another because we have built a solid foundation. And so, what are the basic building blocks for unity in any relationship? The first one is time. Time. It takes time to build unity. Just like when they started building this place, they spent time to pile and pile and pile. If they were not intending to build something strong, they wouldn't have spent that much time to pile. But they had to spend time because they knew what they wanted. So it takes time to know and understand people and how better to relate with them. So anyone who wants to build a good relationship and have unity in their relationship, whether in the family or in the church or in the office or amongst siblings, must spend time. Time is important. You must be ready to invest time in order to enjoy unity amongst brethren. You must be ready to invest time. You must be ready to sit down and spend time with people. Because time helps us to discover who people are. Time helps us to know who people really are. Time helps us. Unfortunately, we often do not want to spend time dealing with people that we think are difficult to understand. Just say, I don't even have time. Is that not our word? Is that not what we normally say? I don't even have time for all of this issue. I don't have time for all of this talk. Is that not what we say? But we must have time. Because it is when we talk, when we spend time, that we're able to talk it through. Now we're able to resolve and we're able to get united. When there is friction, there is no unity and we cannot pray. We cannot move on. And so when there are issues in your family, what are those issues that you actually need to sit down and pay attention to? Let's not push it aside. Let's not say it is not important. Can we just spend time to discuss this issue so we can resolve it and remain united? Time helps us. Time helps us to connect better. And it also helps to heal wounds. Time helps to bond better and understand others better. So time is important. The second thing that we must know to be the building block that we must have if we want to build unity is trust. You must be able to trust. If you want to build unity, you must trust one another. As long as there is suspicion, we cannot be united. Whether as husband and wife, whether as siblings, whether as colleagues, whether as members of the body of Christ, Ikoyi Baptist Church. As long as there is suspicion, when we begin to suspect one another, when husband begins to suspect wife, when wife begins to suspect husband, there will not be unity. Some people do not trust their husband. Some people do not trust their wife. Some feel when that man is on his phone, he's chatting with a woman. When he's on his phone, he's chatting with somebody that he shouldn't chat with. And you know, unfortunately, some people also make it difficult to be trusted by their colleagues or by their spouses. We must be able to trust. We must also be able to build trust. Trust is important. Let people be able to trust you. And you also should trust, particularly husband and wife. Trust. You should be able to leave your phone for your wife to go through your phone. I know I'm shaking some tables. What is there? What is it that my husband cannot see on my phone? Hello, young people. husband and wife, you should not, your password to your phone, your husband should know it. Your wife should know it. But some people, the moment the wife knows this password, he changes it. Because there are things to hide. You should be able to, I know my husband's password. He knows my password to my phone. So what? There must be trust. Because it is when we trust one another that we can powerfully come before God in unity. And then he will hear our prayers. We should be able to trust one another. But some of us, because our spouse has done something once, you are only with that man, you don't trust him. You are only with that woman, you don't trust her. When you see a woman walking by his side, you think they are talking. And maybe he doesn't even know that woman. Maybe he didn't even see the woman. But because there is no trust, what you are not supposed to see, you will see. What you're not supposed to hear, you will hear. Can we just take time to trust? Because when we trust, we will be able to stand united together. How about in the church? There must be trust. Members should trust their pastors. That our pastors mean well. Pastors also should be able to do what? Trust their members. That even when they, in whatever they speak, in whatever they do, they mean well. Even if what we see doesn't look like they mean well, the grace of God upon our lives should be able to allow us to trust. To trust for the sake of unity. For the sake of togetherness. For the sake of the body of Christ becoming one body that cannot be divided, that cannot be defeated. There must be trust. But as long as there are suspicions, there cannot be unity. Number three, faith. Faith in God to help you build unity and also build faith in one another. We must have faith in God who will help us build unity and who will also help us to build faith in one another. You believe and accept one another for who you are. You must be able to have faith that this man, there are good things in him. He has good potential. He has good things to give in this relationship. That these members, or these pastors, or these my colleagues, I must have faith. Because that is what will help us to be united. Number four, forgiveness. Forgiveness. Colossians chapter 3. From verse 13 to 14. Colossians 3, 13 to 14. It says, bearing with one another and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. Verse 14. But above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection. You must forgive. No matter what the offenses are, no matter how deep or how bad those offenses are, you must be able to forgive. As long as we hold on to offenses, as long as we refuse to forgive, we will never be united. And the reason why there is no unity many times is because of unforgiveness. Say, this one did this to me. We are keeping records. We are holding on to it. We must be ready and willing to forgive. Number five. Sacrifice. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 3. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 3. The Bible says, make every effort. Ephesians 4, verse 3. It says, make every effort. And that word, make every effort, I want you to underline it in your Bible. Make every effort to keep the unity of spirit through the bond of peace. Make every effort. That means that go the extra mile. It means do what you have to do in order for unity to remain in that relationship. I think it's the book of Romans. It says, as long as it lies in your power, be at peace with all men. In other words, for you, whatever you have to do to maintain peace, to maintain unity, you must do it. So make every effort to keep the unity of spirit through the bond of peace. Sacrifice. So in making effort means that I have to go the extra mile. I have to go out of my way. I have to do what I think I'm not supposed to do. If I need to make a call today, if I need to visit somebody today, if instead of going home today, I branch to my brother's house. If instead of going home today, I branch to my sister's house. If I have to travel this weekend so that I can bring that family together, so that, you know, we can have a reunion, I have to do it. It says make every effort. Whatever it will cost you, it may cost you money, make every effort. It may cost you time, make every effort. It may cost you prayer, make every effort. All you want to do is to keep the unity that is in your family, that is in the bond, that is in the body of Christ. Unity can only be achieved if you are willing to go the extra mile in our relationships. You must be willing to sacrifice your interests for the sake of unity. The things that interest me, the things that I think I have the right over, I'm leaving it so that we can have unity. Husband really willing to sacrifice. Wife willing to sacrifice. Children willing to sacrifice. Nobody is claiming any right. We are willing to sacrifice so that we can have unity. The sixth building block is love. Love. And we're talking about the agape love. The sacrificial love. The love that is not conditional. The love that is not a result of what you have done to merit it or to warrant it. The love that comes, that is freely given. Where there is love, there will automatically be unity. Look into any relationship. Where there is deep love, there is unity. And unity is easy with love. And that is why when people are in love, they are ready and willing to go any length together. You know, when you were in courtship, many of us were married here. When we were in courtship and we were madly in love, wherever that woman, whatever that woman said, you agreed. It was easy for you to agree. But when things began to go wrong, everything is no. You know, when there is no love, even if that man has a good intention and is bringing a good idea, do you know the natural response will be what? No. We are always already on the defensive. Like, what is it again? So even before he lands, you are ready to say what? No. You are ready to see the negative. You are ready to see what is not right. Because there is no love. And so we must maintain love. We must build love. We must allow for love to be in our relationship. Because this will help us to maintain unity. 1 Peter 4 verse 8 says that love covers a multitude of sin. So where there is love, there will be unity. Number 7, knowledge. Knowledge. Knowledge is another building block for unity. That means that we must be ready to learn. We must be ready to know the stakeholders in any relationship. In your family, you must be ready to learn and study the other people, because the fact that we are from the same parents does not mean that we will behave the same way, isn't it? So now, your brother and yourself, children of the same parents, who grew up under the same roof, we are not the same. Are we the same? We do not behave the same. Have you seen some children and you are wondering whether it's the same parents that brought them up? Have you seen some children like that? And some parents will say, where did I get you from? Yes, I've had a mother who said, where did I really get you from? It's a child, but things happen like they say. So if you and your siblings who are from the same parents, you have issues. Now you are married to somebody who is from an an entirely different background, you say you will not have issues? We will have issues. And that is why we must take time to do what? To study. To learn this person. To take time to discover who he really is and how he does his things. That is why when we come to church, we should take time to study one another. Because that will help us to be united. That will help us to relate better. That will help us to understand one another. We should be able to know what people like, respect everyone's personality, understand the times of your relationship. Because when there is inadequate understanding of relationships and the times, abuse is inevitable. So there must be understanding. There must be time to know, to study one another. As I prepare to bring this message to an end, we look into the book of Genesis chapter 11. There, the Bible talks about those people who gathered together and their intention was to build a tower of Babel. And God said something. God said something. In verse 6, God said, indeed, the people are one, and they all have one language. And this is what they begin to do. Now nothing that they propose to do will be withheld from them. It means that because they were united, when we are united, nothing that we propose to do will be what? Will be difficult. The reason why the Lord scattered these people was because their intention was to make a name for themselves. And God was not happy with them, so he decided to scatter them. But one thing that God wants us to take from this passage is that when we are united, there is nothing that we want to do that we'll not be able to do. And so, as husband and wife, we must be united. As children, as siblings, we must be united. As church members, we must be united. We must not allow anything or anybody to divide us. Anything or anybody that wants to divide us, we must be able to stand to conquer. We must be united. Jesus himself in John chapter 17, he prayed for his disciples. And his major prayer point was that they should be what? They should be one. They should be united. That is the greatest desire. Because when there is unity, when we are together, nothing will be difficult for us to achieve. We should make every effort to make sure that we are united. In Matthew chapter 18, verse 19, the Bible says, if two of us shall agree, if two of us shall do what? Matthew 18, 19. Again, I say to you that if two of you agree on earth concerning anything that they ask, what will happen to it? It will be done by my Father in heaven. Just two coming together to say, no, this thing is not going to be. The Bible says God himself will do what? We honor it. That is the power of unity. There is power in being united. So each one of us should make every effort to see that the relationships we keep are relationships of unity. Ecclesiastes chapter 4, 11 to 12. Let's see Ecclesiastes 4, 11 to 12. The Bible says, again, if two lie down together, what will happen to them? What will happen to them? They will keep warm. But how can one be warm alone? It means when one is alone, what will happen to him or to her? It will be cold. So if one is alone, it will be cold. If two are together, they will be warm. And you know, many times when we have disagreements, somebody decides to leave the room, to leave the bedroom. You pick your pillow, you go to the guest room because you have a misunderstanding, there is disunity. On some, they're actually sleeping on the same bed, but one is facing this side, another is facing this side, and with a very big gap between them. So who are we leaving that gap for? You know it cannot be a vacuum. Somebody is coming there. Satan is coming there. God forbid. But, you know, beyond the physical coldness, when we are not together with our spouse, when there is disunity, except both of you are not really united, they are not really in love, and you do not understand what your relationship holds, you cannot be enthusiastic. You are cold. You are withdrawn. You are not really happy. The day you have a quarrel with your spouse, he leaves home without saying, okay, bye-bye. He has not called you. How will you feel? Enthusiastic? Excited? Able to achieve something that day? You waste that day because you are not. You are cold. That is what the Bible is saying. That if you are alone, you are not warm. You are not enthusiastic. Verse 12. It says, though one may be overpowered by another. What happens to two? What happens to two? Two can withstand. So that battle you've been fighting alone, can you look for somebody that you can be united with? Can you look for your husband? Can you share with your husband? Can you share with your spouse? Can you share with your children? Can we come together as a family and hold hands as one and pray? The Bible says, the one may be overpowered by another. Two can withstand him. And what happens to a cord of threefold? It is not quickly broken. So when the two of us come together and there is God in our midst, what happens? The enemy cannot defeat us. So it is important for us to know that we must be united. That the things that separate us, we must do away with it. We must overcome it. We must be determined that in that relationship, in that marriage, nothing will separate us. Nothing will make us go without talking to one another. Nothing will make us go without praying together, without discussing in that relationship. And you know, there's this saying that one will chase 1,000. And how many will two chase? And I'm trying to imagine the mathematics of 1 to 1,000, 2 to 10,000. How does that work? It just goes to tell us that there is power when we are together. That the things that we stand to achieve again when we are united is beyond what we can comprehend. I pray the Lord will help us through the power of His Holy Spirit to be together, to be united in the name of Jesus.
We hope you were blessed. Ikoyi Baptist Church is a Bible-believing church located at 5-7 Latif Jakande Road in Ikoyi of Lagos State, Nigeria. You can find us on Facebook at Ikoyi Baptist Church or reach the church directly via phone at 0163-20485 and 0163-20486. For more information, please visit the church website at www.ikoyibaptistchurch.org.